Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. What's up, people of the internet? It's your host, Chef Jeff Fell, here on the Fell into Food podcast. I have got a banging crew today. We've got the mushroom folks back. I'm excited. Johnny's in the house, and Tommy came up all the way from Hotlanta to do some cooking with us. If you haven't seen him, you're going to get to know him very well. He's amazing. Tommy the Mushroom Man. Johnny and I are going to chill. We're going to hang out. I'm going to let you cook. We're going to talk while you get to cook and do your thing and show the mushroom. Your mushrooms to the world. So first thing is, Tommy, we got to know, how did you fall into food?
So I went vegan plant-based about 8 years ago. And for the first couple of years, it was a struggle. I was eating rice and beans every day because it was hard to find vegan options. And I was missing texture. So I started cooking. I started working with different chefs, learning different techniques because I was like, man, if I'm going to do this, I need to learn how to cook my own food. And that's really how I fell into it. Before that, I wasn't a chef, but I was cooking food, right? Because we all have to eat.
Yeah.
So being vegan is what really brought me into actually being a chef and cooking food for the world.
Nice. What are we doing today? What dishes we got rocking?
So we have some of these Windy City Lion's Mane mushrooms, and we're going to turn them into somewhat of a chicken cutlet.
Okay.
So we're going to use that same technique that they use when they're pressing it into a steak, but we're just going to turn it more into a chicken just for today.
All right. Cool. Yeah, so just walk through people as you cook and you're doing stuff so that way people know like what you're doing, why you're doing it.
Okay. So for me, I like to get rid of this part that grows out. So mushroom block, yeah. Sometimes it's a little soft, but when pressing, I like to have this part flattened a little more.
Okay.
So we just remove that. And depending on where you get the mushroom from, this may be the only part that has some type of dirt on it.
It has substrate on it.
Yep. So we just remove that.
It's real food.
Yeah. Right.
If you get stuff out of the ground, you wash it because it comes from the ground.
Absolutely.
And people always ask me, how do I clean them? I always tell them I just buy my mushrooms from a reliable source.
Yeah.
Because once you know what farmers do with the mushrooms, they're usually very sanitary with them, and they're not doing anything crazy with them. Now, if you go to the market and they have it in that box where you have to grab them yourself and everybody's picking through them, then yes, you may want to, you know, come up with some type of cleaning method. But just remember that these mushrooms hold a lot of water. So if you do clean them, just make sure you press that water out or you're going to get a mushy mess when you're cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my recommendation to everybody. If you know that it's coming from an organic farm, you don't really got to wash it.
For sure.
Good to go. But that is the old myth with mushrooms because you used to only be able to get them in the wild.
Right.
And because everybody's getting those baby Bellas.
Right.
And those are very dirty.
Very.
Like, it's just a lot of dirt in them. So,
well, people pick them in a bowl and they'll like sit there and like wash them out. And I was like, you know, it just absorbed all that. And then they go to cook them and they can't get them caramelized in a nice color.
Yeah.
Because they're so soaked with water.
Mushrooms, though, you really want to wash them, though, since they're grown in shit.
Well, yeah. I usually take literally.
Literally.
But I'll take like just a paper towel and wipe them.
Right, for sure.
So I'm not getting them soaked. And then I also, you know, just me being me, I take off the cap as well.
I'll
peel the cap.
Oh, no way.
You can peel it off.
Okay.
Yeah, you're talking about the skin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do a quick flute on it and just clean those off.
That's like the easiest way to clean them without wetting them.
Yeah.
So I agree with that.
All right. So we got a pan. What? Yep. You using grapeseed oil?
Yep. Using grapeseed oil. We're just heating up the pan right now. Going to go somewhere about medium high. And we're going to let that oil get hot. So for this first process, we're not looking to really cook the mushroom. We just want to get some of this water content out and then get us more of a cutlet shape of the mushroom.
What decided you to make go vegan? Like what was that ultimate decision?
Through research of food
and
the food industry, I was like, man, they're just messing with all the animals and, you know, they're putting hormones in it. And I just kept researching and learning about what was going on with the food industry. So even before I went plant-based, I went more wild caught and game. So if it wasn't game or wild caught fish. I just wasn't eating it. And I went like full organic, learned about Whole Foods. And I was like, wow, like this is where everybody's going to eat healthier food. Never even seen a Whole Foods in my life. And I'm like, okay, they're really trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Because they're separating where the food is going, you know?
Right.
So once I learned that, I'm like, okay, let me change up my diet. And through that, I just kept researching and learning and learning. And then I also came across some information about teeth and the different types of teeth that we have as animals or mammals. So when you look at like a carnivore or omnivore, they have these certain canines that they can actually chew through flesh. Then you look at a herbivore and they have flat teeth for chewing grass, right? And then you look at a frugivore and they have...
Wait, what?
A frugivore.
What is a frugivore?
It's a animal that eats herbs, vegetables, and fruits, which is what is what I would presume we are, right? Mm-hmm. So the most close that we get to seeing that in the wild would be like a gorilla because they have opposable thumbs. It's hard to be a frugivore without thumbs. You know, elephants and giraffes, they can eat fruit because of how tall they are. They can pick it.
Yeah.
Elephants have that trunk. But to be honest, if you want to enjoy oranges, mangoes, pineapples,
you're not
right,
getting down as an elephant.
Yeah, you need. They just have to eat the skin.
For sure.
We get to peel it, right? So I noticed that our teeth were different. Once you look in the animal kingdom, I'm like, wow. Okay, so maybe we're not supposed to eat meat. And that was one of the conscious decisions I made. Of course, researching different people like Dr. Sabi, Dick Gregory. Just coming across all this information about how ancient times people were eating plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you live in a tropical place, you really don't need animals. You have all these different types of vegetables and fruits that grow naturally. There's no need to eat a goat if you have access to a soursop tree, right? So the information was very intriguing and it helped me go plant-based. So right now my pan is hot, so I'm getting my mushrooms in there. And I like the mushrooms to get used to the heat before I start pressing them. And if I'm being honest, this is a technique I learned from Derek Sarno.
The legend.
Yeah, the OG. Super legend.
There is an OG legend of Lion's Mane Steak, and it's okay. Derek Sarno from Wicked Kitchen. And he has thrown down the hands down best of the best looking Lion's Mane steaks on the internet.
Where's he out of? Where is he?
UK.
UK. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
During COVID, he got stuck here.
Yeah.
He got stuck in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently. Yeah. But then he got back out there. But yeah, he's got his company, Wicked Kitchen. They're in quite a few grocery stores around. Yeah, it's a really cool brand. But yeah, that guy really throws down.
He does. So you know, a lot of people don't know that's where the technique came from. But he actually created this pressing technique that we all use to press a lion's mane or oyster mushroom. If you get an oyster mushroom the right size, you can press that as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, man, I love pressing oyster mushrooms.
You can get them real flat, and it looks like a dry rub brisket if you do it. Because you can coat them on, and as long as you got the big caps, oh, yeah, because seasoning gets in there. It just looks like the curvature of a rib or a brisket. It's fire.
Definitely. And it's delicious when you press it that way.
Yeah, it really does something to the texture, right? Like the extra feel when you go down and you press these mushrooms, it adds to the complexity of it.
It makes it a little more dense.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Like versus being airy and...
Yeah, and then I think when it cooks as well, it cooks fully through. So it gives it that nice like pull apart.
Yeah, so I don't think a lot of people eat mushrooms because of the texture.
That's
what I always hear. People are like, I don't want mushrooms because the texture is just not like they're just like, I can't do the
texture. Oh, dude, it's the biggest thing I've gotten over the last 5-6 years is, I don't mess with them because of texture. And most of the time, though, it's because people are used to the button mushrooms and the kind of sliminess that gets down with them. So it's like when they have something like this, I just tell them, it's like, you got to try these first before you can truly know if it's a texture thing or not.
For me, that's the main reason why I eat them. It's for texture. Yeah, I was saying before, when I first went plant-based, that was really the main thing I was missing, was texture.
Yeah.
And then I learned that I didn't love the animals. I love the chew.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the herbs and spices that we season the animals with. So once I developed that flavor and found that chew, I mean, mushrooms became my love. So I've probably been cooking them for... about 5 going on 6 years now. Yeah. And I say I've been cooking them at a high level probably the last 4 years, because the first year was like just a waste of money. I just was ruining mushrooms.
You're figuring it out.
For sure.
I mean, I when you came on and we cooked, I had very little.
Oh, yeah.
Or two lion's mane oysters, because they're not. Well, shit, when you came and saw me, when the first time I ever saw you,
first time we ever
you run this giant box, and I'm like, what did you just bring me? And it's not uncommon.
Everybody in your office was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, they had no idea what was going on.
No.
And, but then when we got to cook them, I'm like, oh, yeah. It really isn't that hard to clean and manipulate. And when we did like the chicken nugs,
yes.
I'm like,
oh, those was fire, huh?
Oh my god,
fire! Yeah, Jeff was eating them just nonstop right here. He's like, yeah, I just can't stop. There's just no way.
So what did you use? The lion's mane?
I do the lion's mane, and we do.
Here, we press those down, and then we literally did like a simple egg batter.
Egg batter, a little bit of flour, toss it back in the oil, and just let them sear in the pan. It's again, it comes down to the press. If you take the little chicken nuggets and you press it flat, you get a really good cook on it. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that's the best chicken nugget replacement you can get your hands on, like lowest calorie, most highest bang.
But that's the hard thing. The average, you know, house cook isn't gonna be like, let me go pick up some. They're gonna see it in the grocery store and they're gonna be like, what in the hell is this? And they don't know what to do with it.
Here is the biggest thing as well, besides texture, when it comes to this, because it looks so intimidating.
Yeah,
and people, and once I do it for somebody though, they're like, huh, that was it. Like, that's because I mean, making those nuggets is not hard,
right?
You know,
no, it was super easy.
Super easy. That's it.
Pulling it apart.
Yeah,
literally we just smashed them down, battered them, and then
fried them.
Fried up. Well, we did like a pan fry, but I took it home and did some in the air fryer.
Oh yes, the air fried nuggets.
It was like perfect.
Yeah,
because they absorb that egg coating. Now, obviously, you know, what would you use? You know, if you're not gonna do like an egg coat.
So I have a product that I fry my mushroom in. It's called Trap Batter.
Okay.
I'm just gonna grab that I call trap batter, and I use it to make the mushroom taste like fried chicken, but I also use it to make like a egg type
substitute thing.
Yep.
Okay.
Only for sticking to my mushrooms. So if I'm doing something that I want the mushroom to have breadcrumbs, I still will use my batter with some spring water or oat milk and get a pancake-like consistency when I whisk it together, and I'll drop the mushrooms in there, and then I'll coat them in my breadcrumbs, like panko or regular breadcrumbs, or I'll coat it in that same flour and then fry it up. So that's what I would do.
What's in that trap batter?
Oh, it has 12 different herbs and spices, and it's a product that people can buy on my website.
Okay.
So things like paprika, oregano, thyme, white pepper, black pepper, pink salt. What else is in there? Garlic salt, cayenne.
Well, what gives it that batter consistency?
The water.
Oh, just the water with the added seasonings?
Or the milk. Well, because it's flour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a batter. Yep, okay. My apologies. Yep. So
I didn't know if it was flour, almond flour. Okay.
Yep, it's a flour-based product, and then it has 12 different herbs and spices. Okay,
that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Are we looking on our mushrooms?
We're looking good. We're looking good. So while these are, you know, getting some love from the heat, I went ahead and chopped up my kale. That's just some organic kale. And I'm going to...
Nice red cabbage. Spray my red cabbage. It's so good.
I love it pickled.
It is really good
pickled. So good pickled.
It's super like tacos.
Oh, there's nothing better.
Pickle that, put that on tacos. Make a
that or some red onions. Yeah.
Tacos with red cabbage is fire.
For sure.
Do you have a favorite mushroom?
Ooh, it's tough, right? Because my favorite one is a wild mushroom, chanterelles.
Oh, who doesn't love a chanterelle? You never had a chanterelle?
Do you get a lot down there?
Man. They grow, but I don't forage.
Okay.
Usually I get some because I'm cool with mushroom farmers.
Sure.
And when they forage, they just hook me up.
Got it.
So chanterelle is definitely at the top of the food chain. I love chicken out of the woods.
Yeah.
But when I cook it, it doesn't always come out the same.
Because when it depends on when you harvest it or when you forage it, like there's different, it'll harden up like a rock. But if you get it right when it's blooming, it's just soft, tender piece. But you got to really like let it sit and soak because it's so, I mean, it's, you've had it, how dense it is.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a full piece of, like compared to like a tuna steak.
Yeah.
You know, it's real, real thick, but they are delicious though.
And the cleaning process for chicken of the woods is insane.
Yes.
It actually turn you off a little bit, but because I love mushrooms, it doesn't turn me off. But when you see all of the insects that crawl out of the chicken of the woods, you're a little freaked out.
It's like I call it the Halloween maitake. Because
I think I've seen pictures of them.
Yeah.
But never eaten them.
And then I finally got my hands on some lobster mushroom, which technically isn't a mushroom, as we know. They feed on mushrooms.
Is it a fungi still?
Yeah, but it eats another mushroom and then turns into... I forgot what the beginning one is. It's a common mushroom as well, but it forms two mushrooms into one. Or fungi into a mushroom and turns into one.
Interesting.
Yeah. But they're delicious, and people go after them all the time.
Lobster mushroom?
Yeah, lobster mushroom. You'll see it.
And they call it that because it's just better for marketing.
Yeah.
It sounds better.
Kind of like, was it monkfish, right? Like the poor man's lobster.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
You know, show everyone like what you're trying to get like on there.
So it's not really that I'm looking for this color per
se. Okay.
I just like the mushroom to start sweating before I start pressing.
Got it. So you're letting some of that water kind of naturally evaporate out before you press it.
Yeah. And I think people get a little nervous about seeing them in the pan too long. I don't think they realize how well they can just kind of sit and chill.
Okay.
And totally cook down. Like, you can definitely let them sit in for a while.
So we're just using a saute pan to press it. But if you have a press at home, you can use that. Or if you have another cast iron skillet, you can use that. The heavier the object, the easier it will be to press it. But we're just going to use some force.
Plus, my table's a little bit higher than the
your
average table. So
just a little bit.
You know, when you're working in a kitchen and you're 6'4".
Yeah, dude, I get it. You got to really adjust.
Your back. I've worked in too many kitchens where they're like 3 feet.
Oh, dude, I can't.
Like a giraffe in a cut all day. That's the worst.
Terrible. Okay, so we're doing like a chicken type cutlety lion's mane. And then we're doing what with the kale and that cabbage?
So we're just going to saute it in a sense.
Okay.
Let it steam a bit. Let it soften up. We're going to season it up with some Melio seasonings that I have down there. And it's going to be delicious. Something about kale and purple cabbage together is just perfect. And it's a beautiful for the eyes.
Yeah.
Because we eat with eyes.
If you use kale right, I stumbled upon it, but a kale pesto. But you don't use, what did we take out? It was kale, oil, garlic. And I think we took the pine nuts out to remove the nut factor.
Yeah.
But it's still, because of the way kale is,
right,
it still came together because it's so hearty.
For sure.
And we would use that all the time as a substitute. People loved it. The pesto versus kale pesto.
So instead of using basil.
And from an economic standpoint, it's
so would you cheaper. Still use pine nuts?
No. Well, you can. But we took it out because we didn't want the nut factor.
Okay.
Right? Where
it's a good alternative for people who can.
Correct. You know, you had so many nut allergies these days.
Right.
It was like, how do we get this for students? You know, it was when I was in one of the higher ed spaces. It was like, you know, we'd do a pesto pizza or we would do a pesto sauce on something. So we just did this kale pesto and kids didn't even know. Awesome. When you put enough garlic, enough parmesan, you know, the kale and the oil, man, it worked out great.
Do you have to alter a lot more menus recently than before with allergies and stuff like that?
It all depends on, it all depends on the apparatus of where you're at, right? I was in higher ed for so many years.
Right.
You had to adapt at least the dining hall's experience.
Yeah.
Because you had the masses, you had those freshmen coming in.
So for sure.
The masses. And to be honest, you know, I have nothing against, you know, tree nuts or peanuts.
Yeah,
I personally think they give a great,
great.
Great source of protein.
Totally.
You know, but because there's so many allergies, it was just easier to not deal with it.
I bet.
Than every student worrying about, are they going to get cross-contamination? Are they going to accidentally injure?
Sure.
And dealing with that, it's just like, I would rather.
Yeah, you're right. Don't even bother with it.
We would swap out a lot of recipes that, you know, we would just either A, eliminate, or we would just find substitution, you know, that would be a traditional.
Got it.
Pine nuts or whatnot.
But what's the substitute for it?
We just took it out. It worked. We used the kale. Versus the basil, because if you
know what I'm saying, but for the pine nuts,
we didn't for
so just kale.
So kale, it was kale pesto, so kale, oil, garlic, parmesan. But because the kale's so hardy, it can emulsify on itself. Because the pine nut's really there for that fat, right? To help emulsify.
Yep.
But because kale has such the way it's structured, it just holds together.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to do a substitution, which was awesome.
I'm gonna have to try that.
Yeah,
that sounds like a really good.
I'll try and find the recipe. I don't remember the ratio, yeah. But it's one of those that yeah. You eyeball out when you're food processor in it, you know. But it was quite a bit of kale because, again, that was your binder.
Okay.
I see you're really pressing those down.
Yeah. So I want to get as much water out of it as I can.
Got it.
Because then that's going to create that texture that will be enjoyable.
Got it.
A lot of times when people cook the lion's mane or when they have it from someone else, they often say they don't like it because of the texture. But it's because they also probably didn't cook enough of the water out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For sure. It makes sense. And it's soggy.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's like even regular mushrooms. They don't saute it long enough.
Yes.
And they don't let that water evaporate and let that caramel and yep. Where's all that's the flavor?
Oh, all day.
They'll just kind of cook it, and then it's like those canned mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
Mushrooms. That's what people think, and so it's just like I wouldn't want to eat that.
No, I wouldn't want to eat it either. I don't blame people. You know,
honestly, at this point, button mushrooms are vegetables to me.
Yeah,
I just use them the same way I would use peppers. Well, I just throw them in there, so I don't try to manipulate them anymore. That was like in the early days, I would try to take a portobello cap and make it into a mushroom steak.
Mm-hmm.
But these mushrooms are so much better for that.
Yeah.
And they have the look.
Yeah.
So with baby bella, shiitakes, anything like that, I just use it as an ingredient. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it really is a different category in what you can do. Like this is in its own field.
Well, and that's what you got a cookbook, right? I think
I have several ebooks. I haven't released a new one in like a year and a half. Because I put so much out on the internet.
Right.
I just figured they can learn from seeing the technique. And then I want to do a physical book. So I've just been chilling, waiting until
the only reason I asked about a book is I think older generations, younger generation, yes, everything's going to be fed through seeing a video.
Yeah.
And there's even what's really cool, there's some AI out there that you can actually take the link of a video, plug it in, and it'll actually give you the recipe.
Oh,
really? So people don't put the recipe, I gotta look for it. I'll try and drop it in the notes, but you can literally take it and it will like read through the script and then it will create the recipe off of what you've taught. Like, as long as the person's like, all right, I'm using a half a cup of this, I'm using a quarter, it'll turn that into a recipe. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. But older generations, I don't think that they consume video, but I think they still want that physical. Like, I want to read it.
There's still enough of that population left where it matters, right? Yeah. And people really still love that physical. Yeah.
Especially a cookbook, too.
Yeah. You know, to see the pictures and everything else. You can only do so much online.
Something about it.
Right.
And that generation actually follows and supports me.
Yeah.
Because they email me all the time. And they're like, Tommy, I love you, but the ebook just isn't for me. I'm having a hard time downloading it. And, you know, my eyes aren't the best. They're like, when are you dropping a physical book? And sometimes I don't think that the supporters understand the business part of it.
Right.
And the inventory part of it. Ebooks are just great for inventory purposes. Right. I don't have to stock it. I can be anywhere in the world. You can get your product. Opposed to having to fulfill the order.
Yeah.
So I would love to drop a book, but then I would have to also get the fulfillment under control, you know, get the publishing right.
The inventory as well.
Yep.
Well, I think it goes back to that generation. They want to be able to take the book to the kitchen and have it right next to them while they're cooked.
Yep. That's what they want.
To have your computer. I mean, I would not have my computer.
No, most people aren't keeping their computer or have to be on your phone the whole time. Like, I think the whole point of getting in the kitchen is to get away from the phone for a little bit.
Right.
And be able to just sit with yourself, you know?
Because I've had videos up and I'm trying to like mimic it, but then I'm like trying to like scroll back. Then like me and like my sanitary like conscious is like, oh, now I'm touching the computer. Now I'm going back to my food. I don't want that contamination.
Yeah, there's definitely a move for it. I think you should definitely put one out.
So there you go. Publishers, you're watching, listening. We'll get you a hold of Tommy.
I have a company that actually wants to work with me. You know, this isn't a slight at you guys. I love everyone who wants to work with me. I'm just figuring out if I want to do it based on the percentage cut.
Mm.
I wouldn't have to press them. I wouldn't have to fulfill the orders. Mm. But it's also not the percentage I would want to give my recipes up. But I would keep the intellectual property. They wouldn't own the rights to it. And then after, I believe, like a year, if I don't want to have them produce the book anymore, then they would stop. So I think it's a good...
But again, fight for what you're worth, you know? Always.
So this is what we're working with.
Dang.
So we pressed it down. If y'all remember what it looked like when we first started.
Yeah, that thing was like
here. So this is just step one. And now I'm going to let it cool a little bit and then season it up. And then we're going to go back into the heat with it.
All right.
Seasonings on it.
Now, what got you into social media, right? I mean, looking at all the social media, you got a following, especially on Instagram. But when was that time where you're like, you know what, I'm going to start posting content? And then really, more specifically, as you said, mushrooms has only been 4 or 5 years, like getting into like more of the mushroom or the vegan type style.
So around 2022, I had some businesses changed for me. They weren't operating at a high level that I wanted them to. So I just pivoted. So right before that, I had a food truck called Purple Cabbage. We were selling like vegan hamburgers and hot dogs and nachos. And it was doing very well. And then the pandemic hit. So I was like, what am I gonna do? And then I seen a void in the market. So I started renting cars because everyone at the rental car places sold all their vehicles because we couldn't travel. The country was on lockdown, but a lot of people still were traveling because of their jobs or their car might be broke down and, you know, they need a car for the week. So I seen the opportunity in the market and I took a chance. And once that kind of faded out and the country caught back up, I just started seeing my income, you know, going down from that investment.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do I do now? And I went back to doing what I love to do, and it was like cooking. So at first it was just to like show what I was actually doing. It wasn't to gain notoriety. It wasn't to create a brand or become the Mushroom Man. It was literally to show that this is what I'm eating today and this is how I made it. And I did that around like January 2023, but I got more serious around February, March, once I started seeing people were interested, and I was having these big, giant mushrooms. And everybody would just be like, man, where did you get that mushroom? And I'm like, y'all don't have mushroom farmers? So I was naive to the fact that most of the places around the country don't have access to those huge mushrooms. And the grocery stores, when they get them, they break them down into like 1/4 pound so they can upcharge, right? So I'm like, oh, wow, this could be a way in. So that's what really got me into doing the content, was people interested in seeing those giant mushrooms and then me just pivoting back to something that I love doing, which was cooking. And I was afraid to show people what I was doing with the mushrooms because at the time, only Derek was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, he's in the UK. I'm in America. Like, I don't know if people are hip to him yet. Like, you know, and I was afraid that if I show people what I was doing, that they would take what I was doing and then create their own brand with it. So I was like, I'm just going to keep it to myself and provide for my customer base. And then in 2023, I just was like, you know what? I don't care anymore. If someone sees what I'm doing with the mushroom, then they can do whatever they want to do with it.
That makes sense. Do you think from you starting that off, like, I mean, I know personally, because you guys essentially helped make my business go off by getting it popping on the internet. You know, nobody cared years ago until literally 2023. And then there was just so much out there on the internet that grocery stores and everybody started picking up because you guys were posting about it. And the internet spread like wild.
Yes.
Do you think you encouraged a lot of other people to get out there and start cooking up mushrooms too?
For sure.
Yeah.
And being that was never the goal to receive like notoriety or praise from it.
Right.
I'm cool with it. But when I look at it, you know, from a scope, it's like, wow, I really changed the landscape of what's going on, because there were people cooking mushrooms, but not every single dish.
No.
And I came with that. And like I said, I'm always give praise to Derek. But a lot of the chefs, they'll cook with a mushroom and they'll go cook with tofu or, you know, other vegan options. And I'm just putting mushrooms in your face every day, every day, every day. And I started just noticing, like, even the restaurants in my local area and chefs that were following me, I started noticing like, okay, they're starting to implement this more into their recipes.
Mm-hmm.
So I seen even from that aspect of how I was changing the culture. And like you said, with grocery stores, it went from me having a shot with a farmer to now I was able to go to my local grocery store and get these mushrooms more often. So I'm like, wow, I'm even affecting my city. I can't even get mushrooms no more because they're buying them all. They're watching my video, and then they're going to buy all the mushrooms. So I was like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, I would say it's been the biggest increase in the last year we've ever seen in mushroom awareness, mushroom education. And I tell everybody all the time, Instagram saved my business. You know, it's social media made it pop, made it actually want people to get out and explore and get into it, because people just need to have a little bit of know-how. That's it.
Information.
That's it. Information is it.
They see it once, they try it. Either they like it, they don't. Maybe they're so-so, but having a resource to be able to access to say, oh, that's how that works.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I need to do with the product. Again, there's so many, not even just in the vegan world. In general, they don't know how to use a product. So they're like, I'm not using that.
They won't.
You know, the quinoas or the, you know, other legumes of the world that you can do. It's like, oh, no, that's just, I rinse them off and I put them in a salad. Or, you know, it's like, well, you can do a lot more than just that. But that's what the perception is. And that's what people are just, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So we have us a hot pan and we just threw in our kale and our purple cabbage. We're going to let that cook down. So as it cooks, it's going to shrink and then we'll start adding some flavor to it. So while that's cooking down, we have a mixing bowl. Our mushrooms are still a little warm, but they're not hot, so they're manageable. Toss them in a mixing bowl. Wipe off a cutting board.
Aren't you something that like sticks out to me? It's like, I know you're not pure vegan.
Yeah.
But
I'm fungitarian.
Fungitarian.
Yeah.
But you guys are physically like, well, like, I don't mean this in a weird way. Like, you're just like you're not like super like skinny and weak and looking like malnutrition. It's like, no, you're getting clearly enough nutrition to support the lifestyle that you're you know, you do.
Yeah, I mean, and I think focusing on eating whole food is how you stay whole.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you do this right, you can get most of the nutrients you need. Like for me personally, I like to add meat into my diet just because I work out so much.
Right.
You know, but that's just me for a personal thing. But yeah, definitely. I mean, honestly, man, like I do believe that if we can get 10 million fungitarians and people focusing on eating mushrooms, we can affect our global health.
Well, it's a big, I mean, it's a hot topic and, you know, I don't like talking politics, but it's a big thing in the government now, right? Is changing
the food system, Because we know that the food that we're getting and giving to our kids and our colleges and everything else isn't what it should be. And the majority of people are eating processed food on a, you know, 80-90% basis. And like people come to me all the time. We talk about, you know, I've been coaching people for 15 years, but it's like people come to me for a solution, right? Like they get all, how is this going to help me? And like my advice still back is always make sure you're eating whole real food and make sure you're at least going for a walk a day. Do something. Exercise plus the real food, and then you add on everything else.
Right. Do you think it's been a topic that's come up a lot? And I talked with a guy with like more GLP-1 drugs that are coming out.
Yes.
You know, I don't know with like, you know, they say high protein consumption. I don't know how that fits. You know, I don't know what the macros are on, you know, mushrooms.
Oh,
but I'm assuming it's super high protein, right?
So it's, I wouldn't say super high protein because like, you know, in like a pound of ground beef is about 85 grams of protein. So in a pound of lion's mane, you're looking at about 18, 19 grams.
Okay.
So it's much less.
Okay.
But you can also combat that with the amount of calories in there. So kind of, it offsets itself, right? Like you're not going to get that full protein amount, but you can eat a lot more of them where it's not going to overly fill you up. Like a pound of lion's mane is about 180 calories, no fat, carbohydrates in there, just the digestible fiber. So really, it's not a fix, but it is a complete protein. So if you are a vegan and you're trying to go down that, all right, am I getting protein route?
It is an option. Well, I just didn't know as the whole, just GLP-1 in general, not even vegan. Like people are taking the Ozempics of the world.
Right.
You know, but they want to eat healthier and maybe they don't want to eat red meat, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that would, or even Tommy, it's a question for you is really like, what would they then supplement with? Or again, maybe it's a rabbit hole that hasn't really been explored of like, what is the right source combo for a vegetarian vegan that's on these drugs.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't know how much, like, it's so still so new even with the regular, right? They're seeing all this studies come out. I just saw something about, like, eye degeneration of if you are on those drugs. And-
personally, to me, that's the Antichrist. I just don't think in this life that you can get something for nothing.
I agree,
and especially when it comes to your body, you have to work for it. You know, you're given this temple. You should take care of it yourself. Yeah. And just injecting yourself with something that's going to cause you to not eat, that has all these side effects that you don't know about,
right?
Kind of seems.
I 100% am there with you.
Yeah.
I just want to bring it to light because I know people are starting to ask that question. And it's just becoming a big thing. And I
see, like, all right, we're going to call mushrooms nature's Ozempic. Because if you eat mushrooms every day, you ain't going to gain no weight. Simple
good
as
point.
That.
That's a good point.
If you ate a pound or two of mushrooms a day, you are going to lose weight. You're going to feel better. You're going to be on track. So it's just, you know, but what's easier? Doing all that or going like that?
Right.
Going like that. You know, people just want the easy, quick fix. And the problem is that when they take the substance, it's not that it's the part about coming off. Like, once you try to get off that and you realize all of a sudden you're eating more now, it's a mind game at that point.
Yeah.
And then it's really messing with somebody. So yeah, man, I personally don't encourage it. If anybody needs it from a medical standpoint, like, great. But I think just eating whole real foods will get the job done.
Yeah, too. A little bit of exercise. It doesn't take a whole lot.
No,
really.
Absolutely not.
But yeah, that's the craze right now. And so I'm really, really hoping people can wake up to the fact that this is the superior food for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. And then you were comparing a pound of lion's mane to a pound of beef.
Yeah.
And it was less protein. But then also, these technically aren't a pound until we cook them, right?
Right.
So you can still get all the protein you want. You just would need to cook a few more pounds, but they're going to shrink.
Yes.
So these were...
There's a lot of water weight.
Yeah. Yeah,
right, exactly. You go to the store and you buy a pound, you're not going to have a pound of cooked
meat. You're not. Sure. You're not. No. But you're still going to have those.
Yeah, you're still going to have all
those proteins.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Still going to have the vitamin D. Oh, and the other thing about it, though, I don't know if you do it yet, but if you take your mushrooms from the store or whatever and sit them in the sun for 30 minutes before you eat them, it 100 times is their vitamin D.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
It just absorbs all
the sun. Absorbs all the sun.
See, it's stuff like that.
Right.
It needs to be a little fact book. Put your mushrooms in the sun before you eat them.
Product plug. So Mr. Fungitarian content channel coming out next month, where we're going to be going over all of this. All I'm making is mushroom videos 3 times a week, educating.
What did you season those with?
So I'm going to season them a little more.
You went with umami blend.
Yes. So I mean,
umami.
You have to, right?
Yep.
This is probably one of my favorite seasonings. Not necessarily the brand.
Yep.
But I do love this brand, but it's very expensive. But mushroom seasoning, man, the umaminess from mushrooms is just incredible. I pretty much use it in almost everything that I cook. So we definitely added it in there. And it's pretty expensive. So if you want to save some money, you could...
Don't do that at home. Measure it.
Yeah. Nah, I was going to say get you a dehydrator.
Okay.
And get you some cheap mushrooms.
Yeah.
Oh, like slice it up.
Yep. Dehydrate them. Put them in your food processor. Put your other favorite herbs and spices with it to give it some more flavor. And then you have some mushroom seasoning. Me, because I'm always on the go, it just works good for me.
Yeah.
And I'm usually booked or doing something that this just becomes a business expense. But if you want to, you know, use it in your kitchen often, I would just recommend dehydrating some mushrooms and creating your own mushroom seasoning. We also use some smoked paprika, some onion granules, and I'm going to hit it with some pink salt.
And something for people that they don't know, smoked paprika is just dehydrated ground red peppers. People don't know that. That's what paprika is. And it gives it a little sweetness because peppers are naturally sweet.
Right.
But people are, what is paprika? They think it's like chili. And it's like,
no. Oh, no way.
It's red peppers.
Yeah.
There's a little fun fact for you. Most people never knew it.
Yeah.
And then, you have smoked paprika. You'll see like a sweet paprika because, again, they can smoke that and impart that flavor or whatever it is, depending on what you're trying to achieve.
That's a good call. So we've sauteed our greens down. Just adding some pink salt, some onion granules, and we already added some mushroom seasoning.
smell it. Smells good.
So we just want these to soften up, kind of steam really, and get all the flavor from that seasoning in there. Kelly's already really good on its own, but it's a little, it's more easier to eat.
Yes.
When it's softened.
Yeah.
So even if you don't cook it, if you massage it, it's going to come out great. So if I wasn't cooking it, I still would massage it with some oil, maybe some agave, different seasonings, and just really,
really
rub all that flavor in there. Yeah, because it'll loosen up the kale and make it easier to eat.
Okay, that makes sense.
Opposed to just when you got
to... That's how I want to eat it if I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, yeah, because other than that, it's kind of rough, right?
Rough,
yeah, yeah.
Or you, also you can de-rib it, right? So that big rib that's right in the center.
Oh, you can just...
You just cut down the leaf on that
okay.
because that's that woody part. Some people keep it in for nutrient sake or less.
In it, I'm like, ah.
Some people just don't. So you can. You can like almost take the kale leaf and you can like fold it over and then you just cut that off at a fine looking piece.
Okay.
And then you, and that'll help also with from a texture standpoint.
That makes sense.
So I have some flavor at the bottom of the pan. Just going to add a little water so I can kind of scrape that up. And this is pretty much done right here. And this is a real easy.
Right, I'm getting a fork. I'm gonna try this right out of the pan. Okay. I gotta try it right out of the pan because I am big on like I don't get to eat hot food very often. Everyone else gets fed first, and then you get the food. So I gotta dig.
Go ahead. Let's see what's happening.
Some cabbage.
What we got?
I can get it. Right? A big old piece.
Is there?
Mm-hmm. It's not super soft, like it still has crunch
mm-hmm.
from both sides.
Yeah.
But all these flavors really help offset that bitterness of that kale, which really helps.
For sure.
No, that's definitely.
Pair really nicely.
Yes. And I figure since we're with Mr. Fungitarian, right, he's big on health. So this is pretty much of a healthy meal. The quinoa that we're going to make, it has all the non-essential amino acids, right? We're getting our protein, our brain health,
mm-hmm.
right? And we got our greens. So we're kind of hitting all the angles there on a healthy meal.
This is a full, complete meal.
For sure.
Yeah, if you're a vegan, this is your ideal, what you should probably try to work in at least once a day.
Even if you're not vegan, I think what we have to get away
from... Yeah, sorry, let's get rid of that.
I hate the terminology of if you're a vegan, this is what you eat. It's like, try this, even if you're you eat everything like me, like once a week,
yeah,
try and sub it out and see how it goes, right? I think that we don't try enough foods because we've, the way you brought up, whatever, you know, and you're so...
Pigeonhole yourself.
You do pigeonhole.
There's people that aren't one set, and I think being able to mix in, yeah, you shouldn't be one dimensional. You know, even from your own gut health, you know, you got to mix it up. You got
to. Well, it's funny how everyone is so apt to be like, okay, well, I'll take a green drink,
right?
But it's like, why don't you just change some of the whole foods that you're eating? One meal,
yeah,
one meal a week
for sure.
Start somewhere.
That's it.
You know,
right?
I know. I'm assuming. Tommy, could you kind of like get these like pre-made? Like, let's say you're meal prepping for the week.
Yes.
Could you just like press all of them? Don't see, you know, you just get them in the pan, press a bunch of them, let them cool down. And then throughout the week, you could season them, or I guess you could technically season once they cool down. And then you could then refire them off or heat them up as you wanted to eat them.
Absolutely. You could also, once you press them down, you could put them in a vacuum sealed bag and freeze them.
Yeah.
Oh, and you could portion
them. Yeah, you can't freeze fresh mushrooms. Yeah. You can only freeze cooked mushrooms. No? But yeah, I have people that do that prep when they'll buy like 12 pounds, they'll just cook it all down, throw it in the freezer, and then just pull that out as needed. That's a really good way to.
Do you sell wholesale on the website mushrooms, or is it only grocery stores?
No, no more. We were doing the wholesale on the website, okay. But we ended up getting more contracts for grocery stores than we had mushrooms. And so we're finishing getting the last, 25 containers filled up. And then, so we'll have an extra source of mushrooms, but right now, getting added on with Meijer and Whole Foods and everybody else.
Meijer, huh? I got one 2 feet from my house.
So yeah, it's really, really taking off, and so they got to stay priority right now.
Okay. Because I know in Chicago Market, you can get them at all the Fresh Times.
All the Fresh Times, Pete's Fresh Market, all the Whole Foods, and then Meijer, 130 Meijers. Yeah.
What did Meijer bring it? They already brought them in?
Yeah, they just started shipping them out. So, but I don't know exactly which location.
I'm going after, literally. I got to go grocery shopping. I'm going to check.
So I just threw in some red bell peppers. And I'm going to let those soften just a bit. And then that's going to be the kale mixture. I actually forgot to add them, to be honest.
It'll add a little extra crunch.
That's the beauty with food and like hot food. That's why I never became like a pastry chef. Everything is so scientifically like structured.
Critical on every part.
One wrong step and the whole thing is gone. Whereas hot food, it's like, okay, well,
it could be.
Because I mean, if you're at home and you've got all your burners, you technically take your kale, your cabbage off, throw in your peppers.
Right. No problem.
Soften them down, throw them back in, or just season them. And then you could, you know, fix that. But we have one burner. In our ventless kitchen, we have one burner. So
we made it work, though.
I think some of them are a little too big, so I'm just improvising, cutting some.
Did I show you the ribs he made last night?
No, I've heard about these infamous ribs. I've seen your video when you did the ribs, but I've yet to try Lion's Mane ribs.
You brought a plate, right?
Yeah, it's for my...
Oh, it's for the next one?
No, it's for my my Airbnb host.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. She's actually my friend, too, but that's nice. She looks out every time I come to Chicago.
Did you keep that tray from last night?
Nah, I was trying to figure out, should we just leave it in there? But we didn't have a way to wrap it up.
Got it.
So, yeah, unfortunately... I don't know if Bree took it back to the restaurant.
We'll put a clip in video of it. I got a good video shot of them. We'll throw it in so people can see what they look like. I mean, it's so similar. The texture, the feel, like it's like a pork rib.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
That's what we're going back on. Now you recommend cast iron when you're pressing, right? Is that
definitely
you're recommended?
How are you going to get that good sear on it?
Okay. Plus, you won't have that fluctuation with like stainless.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably do it in a stainless pan, but you just don't have that heat retention.
But it's not.
Just not the same.
It's not the same. There's this different appeal with the cast iron.
And the cleanup is like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, in my opinion, the stainless steel steals a lot of the seasoning.
Yeah.
When you're trying to press the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Because most of it just ends up.
To the side?
Yeah.
Oh, it turns into fond, basically. It's at the bottom.
Hands out. With the cast iron, you'll really soak onto the mushrooms, and it really absorbs it all. Yeah. Totally see a difference with that. You've grilled them, right? I've seen you, Vic. Yeah. Yeah. People underestimate the grill.
I've smoked some before, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I've also done it to where I've pressed them.
Mm-hmm.
Then grilled them, and that came out a lot better.
That's better. That's
because really I just wanted the cutlet.
Yeah, for sure.
The cutlet, and I didn't want it to burn on the grill.
Yeah.
So I made sure I cooked it first, and then I wanted that charness in the grill.
For sure.
The marks, the flavor, the charcoal, you know, whatever you're cooking with, wood chips, and it just does something to the mushroom, man.
It was a different experience, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
So we're going back in with our mushrooms. Have a pan, a hot pan. Yeah, this is going to give us that sear now.
Yeah.
So step one is we're basically just pressing down for a mandible size and extracting water.
Yeah. Yep.
That's our goal with pressing.
Yeah. Okay. And this could sit, like if you really want, with the seasoning and marinade, you can throw that in the fridge for like 8 or 12 hours, and then you cook them up the next day. Like, I think that's how Derek does his beetroot juice, right? His beetroot juice recipe, when he dips them in and he bags them up, that's how he gets that red look.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, so I think you could do that with almost any kind of marinade. It is going to totally absorb, though, so I think you got to really cook them down. This is going to be filled back up with liquid again.
You can, he likes to get it deep inside the mushroom. Yeah. And I feel like that's why he puts it in the bag.
Okay.
Because he wants that color all the way through.
For sure, once it cuts down.
Yeah, just for the visual effect. Yes, for sure.
Or if you had a vacuum sealer, you could just infuse it right in.
Yeah.
one of these ones that I use. Because your house one is just going to pull the liquid and it's not going to.
Yeah.
It's not going to, unless you, I mean, they kind of make liquidy ones, but.
And if anybody needs one, Jeff can direct you on where to get some of these.
That's what I do when I do like deep marination, because we've got what are called greenback pans. Yeah. I can under pressure, so I can just pull those cell walls open, and in 30 minutes.
Oh shit!
All that liquid can be absorbed, and I don't have to wait overnight.
Oh, that's
game changer.
For sure.
All right, so what are we working on now?
So we're just getting our quinoa prep and ready. I actually like the. Cook with spring water.
Okay. All right.
So
thank you.
Yeah. I have some spring water here. And we're actually.
If people don't know, you shouldn't be drinking purified water. It's not actually, doesn't have actually anything in it for you.
All the minerals, everything stripped out?
Yeah.
What about reverse osmosis?
No, it's stripped as well.
Same thing.
Really?
Yeah. So like.
Spring water, Mountain Valley, not to plug them or that they need anything else, but it's literally.
But I know it's supposed to be spring versus. There's like two main ones on the market. If it's either spring or it'll say
fried, they've got the alkaline.
The alkaline, but the alkaline is almost is equal to the.
Yeah, but they're also putting all sorts of crap.
Yeah,
correct.
In those. I know it's supposed to be spring. You want spring water.
Water unadulterated as much as it possibly can be, you know, because you're supposed to have those minerals. And honestly, you should be adding salt to your water.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's the real big move.
Well, because that's also helping. Add in the electrolytes. It's not just the water you're trying to it's electrolytes you need.
Definitely if you're drinking reverse osmosis, you have to add salt in. You know, otherwise you're just drinking still dead water, you know?
Oh, it is interesting.
Sit right below.
So I already have some quinoa that I rinsed, a cup, and we have 2 cups of spring water. So once our lion's mane cutlets are done searing up. We're going to toss this on and we're going to cook the quinoa. And some people like to cook the mushroom fully on the stove. Me personally, I like to cook it in stages. So like you said before, I like to press the water out of it and then get my shape. And I like to get me a nice sear on it. And I like to pop it in the oven to cook any excess water out to give me the actual texture that you enjoy. So that's pretty much what I did.
For the ribs?
For sure.
That makes sense.
For sure.
But all of this process really matters. It's a total difference in the texture feel once you do the different stages. I really like I just learned about baking them like a year and a half ago. Really seeing how people get down boiling some oyster mushrooms first and put them in water. You can put them on a skewer, get them all lined up, and then bake those in the oven. It's like a shawarma that you can just cut down. Yeah, it's really, really... Dang. Wow.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it looks like a chicken cutlet. Or a big fat pork chop.
Or big fat.
Yeah.
What about mushroom jerky?
So I actually have.
I don't know why, but I was like, can't you make jerky out of mushrooms?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of. I actually have a meeting with the owner of Moku Foods, Moku Jerky, this on Tuesday, I think. We're talking about he got his brand to blow up this last year. And he got like, I don't know, I think I've seen something like 110 investors. And he ended up, but now he's in like Fresh Time and Whole Foods and he's everywhere. And it's blown up. So there is a market for it. I did them for a while. I did some lion's mane jerky and I did some oyster jerky, but the realities of starting another CBG product and trying to get it in everywhere is just kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
So yeah, but there's a big open market for it. I think lion's mane jerky, no one's done it yet.
Yeah.
And I think
no one's done it at scale.
No one's done it at scale. There's a big open format for it right now though, but it's delicious. I think it's like the closest thing you can get.
Adding some seasoning to it before we get going.
If you ever want, I'll just bring you some lion's mane. We can shred it up and just.
I've got the equipment to, to make it happen.
That's for sure.
I'm going down the rabbit hole with beef. So
yeah, okay, yeah. If you're already doing that,
playing with it,
might as well, right? Have an option for everybody. Dry aged lion's mane.
I'm curious. I'm wondering if you could.
I mean, can you?
I've seen studies where you can try.
I mean, I would say so, right? I mean, it's just going to slowly pull the water out.
But I don't know. But the reason like dry aging with protein works is because of the fat within it creates an enzymatic process.
For sure.
It changes the flavor. So is it just going to dry the mushroom out?
So that's what I'm saying. It might just dry it out, but what if you added a type of fat?
That's what I was about to say. What if you oil it up?
Yeah.
and then that oil would absorb into it as it pulls out all the water.
I mean, I guess that would be kind of like fish. That's what fish does. Okay. As you dry fish, the moisture evaporates, but that fat concentrates in the muscle. Yeah. Oh. I just don't know. I don't know.
We can find out.
I've done some interesting things with mushrooms. Because I was always trying to figure out how to get more fat into it so that when I cook it,
yeah,
it could cook the fat out. So I've taken like syringes or turkey basters, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, yeah, right? And I filled it up with oil before. That's worked pretty good. I wonder, that might be
a good idea. That'd be a cool thing to do. Yeah, I'll bring you some. We'll play with it.
Dry
age lion's mane, for sure.
I mean, worst come to worst, you could just turn it into mushroom seasoning.
Yeah.
I mean, if it does dry into nothing, you just
all the way down for sure.
Or you could turn it into lion's mane capsules, or absolutely. Yeah.
You know the thing that I do with, I was telling you last time with the nuggets, I actually bred the lion's mane in lion's mane. So if you just take the lion's mane, dehydrate it, powderize it, mix it with like almond flour, mm-hmm. you can blend that up, and then you use that as your base. And then so you could literally just coat them in the mushrooms.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, there is a mushroom flour company that just came out too. Oyster mushroom flour.
So would we use like...
So say we wanted to do like 60% oyster mushrooms, then you do 40% almond flour, do that blend, and it's going to act the same way.
Well, that makes sense. A lot of people are trying to get rid of regular flour with glyphosate.
Roundup.
There we go. In wheat, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, out here in the Midwest region is the highest concentration of glyphosate in the entire country. Mm. Just because of all of our farmland and everything else. But it's a really big problem. And that's one of the other things is like sometimes people switch over to these plant-based diets where it's a lot of grains and a lot of seeds and a lot of this and that, but they're feeling sick. Like, I think even the rise in celiac is coming from glyphosate rather than just the food, because the food is now super contaminated with it. But yeah, it's in corn, soy, all of those things. It's what they spray it on. It's the only way for them to farm it without it being. So yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It would be a very expensive flour though, right?
So you got to think about it. Yeah, you're going to pay a premium for it. But that's what I'm saying. If you figure out the right ratio, because almond flour or just regular flour isn't that expensive, right?
So what would be the alternative to almond flour? Would you just use like a chickpea or a tapioca?
Chickpea, you could do a tapioca. I think that would be the answer for sure.
To get away from the nut allergy?
Yes, for sure. Okay, absolutely. I don't think that would be I mean, if you really wanted to go regular flour too, you could. You know, there's not a problem with it.
Would you go 50-50 though?
I've done it 60-40. I've done it 80-20. So I've always tried to add more mushroom to it than the flour so that you know you're actually getting that flavor and that value in it. And it's worked all the way to like 70-30, 80-20. So like all the desserts we make is with lion's mane powder. So one of my staff members makes macaroons and the shells are all made out of lion's mane and almond flour.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it cooks well, bakes well. Perfect.
Yeah.
Like you don't get any of that like true mushroom, like, cause it's dehydrated so much. So like, I don't know. It adds a little richness to it, but it's a really good alternative, I think. Cause like flour just by itself depends on where you're getting it or what it is, but you got to worry about some of those other ingredients, not so much about the nutrition of it,
right?
But
right.
What else are they spraying on this stuff? You know, that's the biggest thing, because like one thing I just found out, they had a glyphosate study done on like the major food brands, and ones that scored the highest was 365 from Whole Foods.
Really?
So it's like, you don't really know.
A lot of it is marketing. Like,
it's all marketing, guys. It's all marketing, because when you dig down deep into it, you realize that, you know, you might be paying a premium, but it's coming up more and more. And that's why it's like, even they also have different fruits that aren't fully organic there now. They're like, there's little things that you really got to look at.
Yeah.
And ideally, it goes back to increasing our ability to have more farmers and pushing that message. Because it's just so hard when you're at the top and you got to supply grocery stores. Like people, it's a business.
Yeah.
So I get it. You know, but again,
the way I like it.
Yeah. Not good.
I can, and this is Evan's safe, right?
Hmm?
I
can put this right drop here. That in. Don't burn your face. There you go. It's a cool card. Until it burns you. Nothing like dry steam in your face. Third degree burns. Give it a good push. There you go. Okay, we got quinoa going back on.
Yep.
And again, you just added some salt, some umami. What else?
And some onion granules.
Onion, okay.
Yep.
All right, we've got that quinoa that's cooked off. See what that looks like.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Right.
It's pretty much ready. Yeah, it's fluffy.
All right, so we're going to step that off the side, warm up our greens a little bit.
Yep.
So while he's reheating that, like, let's talk a little bit about the tinctures.
Yeah.
And this year, I think, because me personally using, where's my favorite at?
Right there.
The Reishi.
Yeah.
For sleep health. And I know we talked about it in our first podcast. So yeah. If you haven't seen that, I'll link that episode as well. But watch that one. We go into super depth. But you've reformulated.
Yes.
On these. But, you know, I just want to get my personal kind of like.
Yeah, please, man.
This, you need sleep, deep sleep. Not to help put you to sleep.
Yeah.
But you want deep sleep. I literally will put 5 drops of this. It's probably a little more, but I've been
doing it. It's a little extra, but that's okay. Right. So,
you know, the body
gets used to it.
You probably need a couple.
For sure.
But I'll have my tea and I'll leave just like a tablespoon left over.
Yeah.
Just drop that in there and then shoot that back.
Yeah.
My sleep has been my deep sleep.
Right.
The dreams, I'm like in the
dream. The dreams are. Yeah.
It's kind of creepy. And then all of a sudden the alarm goes off and I wake up and I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah. It was just totally somewhere else. It's a full lucid dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
They make your mind so active when you're sleeping, but your body's so calm.
Yeah. I just got to say, like, it's been a game changer because when I ran out.
Yeah. Notice the difference? Oh, dude.
Night and day. Like, the sleep was not as deep. I'd wake up in the middle of the night.
And you know, it's not just you, dude. That's like the universal thing that I've been getting back from people. Cause like we know what it does, but like I want to hear how it feels, right? Like what is actually going down. And that's it. Everybody's like, I just stay asleep and it's just more rested. I feel more calm. It's been amazing lately. But I think this with the new formula, so they're alcohol free now. So we still do the dual extraction method. But then we infuse it with glycerin and MCT oil. What we've learned and what most people don't understand about a lot of the mushroom products is when we just take them and dehydrate them and you want to actually absorb those compounds that are in there, it's not actually bioavailable for the body to absorb it all. Mm. And so if it binds with the fat, so that's why we added MCT oil in here, which is coconut oil, it allows the bioavailability to go up to about 50 to 70% more.
Wow.
And so if you're taking something like this, this is the true purest form of taking a mushroom supplement because it's fresh extracted, it's dual extracted, all the compounds are taken out, and it's just this isolated dose. For you to get the equivalent of lion's mane, you'd have to eat about 10 pounds a week.
Wow.
To take the equivalent of 1 week of this.
Wow.
And so if you can supersede that, I mean, lion's mane is hands down 2025 supplement of the year. You know, it's about to be in and around everything. But if you're going to take it, you need to know where it's coming
from.
It's
got to be certified. Anyone from China can have a capsule made and put
it. For sure.
Not regulated by the
FDA. And you don't know what's in that filler.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it's medicine. You know, I'm starting to work with healthcare providers and their doctors are actually being able to give this to patients as treatment, you know? And so if you're going to take medicine, you should take it in its purest form. So yeah, I have the website. Full Fungitarian website coming out middle March.
Okay.
I got a shop page coming up later this week so we can ship anywhere in the country, but the Amazon page is getting built. But we're really focusing on this. I also have a gummy line too. Yeah. I made an MCT oil, mushroom gummy. So we have that for the kids coming out.
For the kids, what about, I'm an adult. And
so for kids and adults, my objective was get the adult a tincture, give the kid the gummy so that, you know, they can feel relatable. But also, you know, having kids starting to take tinctures too. They want to see like mom and dad taking their medicine as well. Eventually they're going to have to take vitamins anyways. They should know now.
Yeah. Well, people need to know when I'm like, oh, I take a mushroom tincture. They really think I'm taking like.
Yeah, for psychedelics, right.
Like, no, I'm not taking psychedelics.
So that's why I took the word out. And so now we call them mushroom drops. And I think it's just a lot easier to go about
it's
that
way. It's natural, it's naturally found, and it's not a psychedelic.
Correct. No, these are just medicinal. There's gourmet, medicinal, and then psychedelic. And so, yeah, plus you can't legally do that.
That would be people tripping.
Hey, legally what?
You can't legally do a psychedelic tincture.
Oh, true.
But also the true fact about it is that psilocybin degrades so fast. So you really need a certain enzymatic process in order for it to be stable. And nobody who's doing it is that much of a scientist to really do that. So yeah, if you are to ever take psilocybin in liquid form, really think about it twice, because I don't think it's actually real. So just a forenote for everybody.
No, I'm excited to try the new formula.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, they're delicious now. And that's the biggest thing. Like we used to dual extract them in alcohol, and now they're intense. You know, you definitely felt it.
I would if I didn't get it in my tea, because I finished it.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh crap. I would go to the back of my tongue.
Okay.
Because the taste receptacles, it wouldn't hit. So I would like kind of have them sitting on the back.
Yeah. And just like let it go water. For sure.
And it still didn't.
But see, like for me, that was it. Like if somebody has to dread going to take it.
I didn't dread it. It was like that.
Sure. Just I knew what
15 seconds of uncomfortability was what it was. It was like,
And honestly, when taking medicine, you want smooth, comfortable. Oh, wow. Damn, those look good.
Sorry to mess up the good comfort.
Oh, no. It was perfect.
Well, food comes out. That's how you know the sign of a good meal.
Correct. I wouldn't drop my conversation if it didn't look amazing.
The one on the end, I never heard of that one.
Which one?
Chaga.
Chaga, yeah. So it's a mushroom that grows up in the northern region of the country, and you can't grow them. We only wild forage them. Mm-hmm. And they grow like, imagine it looked like the side of a tree got burnt, just this big, real dark, charred looking thing. And inside of it, it's completely gold. It's beautiful. But yeah, we get them wild forage. So that's one of the ones in Turkey Tail. We get those wild forage as well. Everything else we grow ourselves. But yeah, they're one of the highest antioxidant substances on the planet. So if you're looking for like anti-aging, de-stress, and really immune support, I use them anytime I feel like a cold coming on, and it normally goes away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because then there's lion's mane, and then...
Yeah, so we got chaga for immune system, lion's mane for our brain health. We know it's the only thing to help prevent Alzheimer's and dementia, increase nerve growth factor. Cordyceps, which is like big, big, big for all my MMA athletes, all my endurance athletes, and everybody else. But it's showing a lot of signs for libido as well. Mm-hmm. So if any guys want to start incorporating cordyceps into the mix, it may help out.
I was about to say, for me, when I take cordyceps, it definitely boosts that sex drive.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I have a new one coming out. I'm partnering with this dude, Evolved Mushrooms. It's a primal blend. It's called with maca, ginseng, and cordyceps. Mm. And let me tell you what, you feel the difference. And then, yeah, of course, reishi for the sleep. But yeah, and we have turkey tail as well. I just didn't have it in yet today. But turkey tail is really good for women for breast cancer as well as their gut health.
I'll look at the inside,
dude.
Like, pick a piece of that up.
Yeah,
outside people would be like, "Oh, look."
Yeah,
at that.
There's no way. But
look at the inside of that.
Oh, it's unreal.
It literally almost looks like a piece of chicken.
It does. Like, you couldn't tell. There's no way you could be like, "Nah, that's not."
Yeah.
And as you're cutting and we're plating, you gotta give everyone the intro to the video, because that's what turned me on. I started watching them, and I was like, I want to watch him sit here, hear this every time. So one, we got to hear it. And then two, did that just come naturally? Did you just say it one time and somebody was like, you got to say that every time?
That's kind of really what happened.
Yeah.
I said it. I believe the first time I said it, how did I say it? I was like, here I stand, the mushroom man with a mushroom plan. But I didn't have the Make America Shroom Again.
Okay.
And it came from just every video I was changing up the front part of it, meaning I was doing nursery rhymes. So I one video went viral because I had these big mushrooms in my hand. And I was saying one shroom, two shrooms, gray shrooms, blue shrooms. So every video I was creating something like that, and creatively, it was becoming difficult.
Yeah,
to do that every video,
yeah,
right. So when I did the Mushroom Man thing, someone was in the comments and they were like, "I love when you say that." I was like, "You like that?" So then I started thinking about all the TV shows that, you know, we grow up on as people who love sitcoms, and we hear the song every time.
Yeah,
we know we don't get tired of the song,
right?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, maybe they would like this, mm-hmm. And I just kept tweaking it. Tweaking it, and then it became a thing. And once I started going around and being noticed, people was calling me the Mushroom Man. And I was like, dang, they don't even know my Instagram name. They don't even know my name is Tommy. And that's when I changed my name to Tommy the Mushroom.
Got it. So we earned, I mean, this is the thing. Like, we were talking about being a chef and you're earning, like, it's like he earned like the name Tommy the Mushroom.
Totally. Man. Yeah, man.
That's true. Given.
So.
All right, let's play these up. Yeah, look at that.
Dude.
Here I stand, the mushroom man, with a mushroom plan to make America shroom again. And I'm here with my good friends. You know, we're about to have this good dish. Got some quinoa, some kale and purple cabbage mix, and some good lion's mane mushrooms. It's going down. Fell into food. We all fell into food, and I fell into here with these good people. Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah, let's plate up and eat some of this.
For sure. I'm going to cut these last two up, and then we're going to make it happen. And if I was doing a steak, only thing I would do differently is, well, it's a few things I would do differently. I would add some cumin. And some type of liquid smoke, Worcestershire, vegan Worcestershire, of course, and coconut aminos. I do my best to stay away from soy-based products, but you can use liquid aminos if you like, or, you know, soy sauce. The soy sauce is real salty, so I like the coconut aminos.
And you can meal prep this through the week. You can put it in your meal packs.
Totally.
Heat them up for lunch.
This is the perfect meal prep right here. Because they all sit well and store well.
And the red pepper gives them color, that purple pepper, right? So it's not just this dullish, darkish green, and people are like, ugh. It's got some vibrant color. And,
yeah.
You know, people eat with their eyes.
That's a really good, like,
you got yellow peppers.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, anything with color.
Yeah, you definitely, the eyes and the nose is very important.
Yeah.
And now you do events and stuff, right? That's what you're doing?
So yeah, I was in town for one with Taste of Brie. And I enjoy doing those because I get to touch the people and they get to try the food. And I have freedom to just cook because most of the time they just want the fried mushroom because I'm very popular for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy the events because I can pretty much get creative with the menu and do some things that I wouldn't usually do when I'm selling food because it's hard to find 60, 70 pounds of lion's mane. I would love to sell lion's mane ribs, but I just can't because I don't have the source to be able to get that on a regular basis.
But the events have popped off, right?
Yeah.
You've been doing it with a lot of people almost, I mean, every month, right?
Yep. Every month. Like, as soon as I leave here, I have one in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Has a state popped off more than another?
I'm like, this doesn't look right.
Yeah, we got to add.
Is anywhere shown more love?
Chicago definitely showed big love. Yeah. Of course, Atlanta.
Right.
I'm there a lot. And that's a good question. D.C.
D.C. love?
Oh, man. D.C. showed
okay.
a lot of love. Like, the most so incredible. There's a lot of
lovers out there?
Yes.
Okay. Good to know.
All right. Before we eat, I'm gonna get the mobile cam. I'm going to get shots. We're going to mobile cam this. That's right. This is how we do the podcast. Everything's live. Everything's real. Beautiful.
All right.
Tommy, and I want to think.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm just sitting here.
Doesn't it look like there's the fat on there?
It does.
It really does.
Tommy, thank you. Leave that for now. Let's eat. Let's eat.
All right.
Let's give this a try.
Brother. Thank you.
Cheers. That's great. That crust.
The crust.
Right? So you get the texture of the inside, but then you get that crust mm-hmm. like you would any protein.
It's not chewy.
No.
You're actually just going through it, you know?
I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.
If you really want to know about how to cook mushrooms, follow Tommy. Hit him up with all the socials because you're constantly doing videos, cooking videos, so people can do it. So where do they find you?
On all platforms, I am Tommy the Mushroom Man. So even if you don't have Instagram, you have Facebook, same name there, same name on TikTok, same name on YouTube. You can Google it. I'll pop up. So that's my name on all platforms, Tommy the Mushroom.
Awesome. Tommy the Mushroom Man. And always,
Johnny, thank you for making the connection.
Gord,
you know, three times on. Like,
I know,
I'm
man.
Having you on. There's always something new.
I'm so happy to come on here. I'm glad we got to all connect. I think this is a really, really good collaboration. I appreciate Tommy from coming all the way out here, Chicago. And then we had the event, but it's been a dope day. We're going to go check out the farm after this. So I think we're going to get some cool content after this. But yeah, man, I'm just excited to spread more mushroom awareness, more love. You know what I'm saying? I want everybody in this country to start eating mushrooms. So I'm happy to come together with everybody.
There you go. We've got the dudes to get you the shrooms. Say it, Tommy. I'm screwing it up. What's the to shroom us again? Hit us with it.
To make America shroom again.
To make America shroom again. So there we go. Until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
Thank you.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.